to this message, because before the night's over, I hope that you, if you don't get anything else from camp, I hope that you get that your identity, it wasn't just that Jesus come to die for sin. He come to die to change who you are, to change your nature, and change what you think about yourself. You do not have a sin nature. You are not naturally rebellious. You might live in a system of the world that says that you are, but the truth of it is, this is why I believe it was John that writes that you're in the world, but you're not of the world, right? And what we think is that means I'm in this world of sin, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about you're in the systems of the world that says your identity is what you do. Your identity is what you possess. Well, you're in that system, but you are not part of that system. You're in the system of God's kingdom that says you are because I say you are. Right? I'm Elohim. I'm God. I created everything. And I've decided to look at you and say that you're good. I've decided to take the blood of my son and make you holy and righteous. And so whatever you take from this camp, I want you to leave with that revelation. You might not feel like it. You might get to school in a couple months or a month and people have labeled you. You might even done stuff that brought the label up on you. But at the core, that those are just labels, but that is not who you are. And last thing I'm going to say before I bring Brother Will up, your behavior does not dictate your identity, right? How you act doesn't mean that's who you are. And if you'll get a hold of who you are, the way you act will change. Amen? Are you going to come up here? Okay, come get it. I'm going to get to preaching if you don't get up here. Hey, you guys give it up? Come on. Act like you're excited.
Well, what I should do is just dismiss in prayer, because he pretty much said everything I came to say. So, but you're not going to get off that easy. We're going to go through it again, a little more systematic. That was really good, brother. That was good. I hope you all listened to that. Did you? Are they recording any of this? I wish they'd recorded that. You recording that, Jack? Jack says they're recording that. If you get a chance, go back and listen to that right there again. That's good stuff. What is a person's identity? Now, I don't mean, what's your identity? Oh, I'm a Christian. I want to go further than that. What exactly is an identity? Where does it come from? Who gives us our identity? Do we decide? Does someone else decide? Do other people tell us what our identity? Do churches give us identities? Where does an identity come from? Let's define what an identity is. Anyone know? How would you define? Now, I know some of you have been whooped for talking in church, but that's out tonight. You got the freedom to respond if you want to. What is an identity? What would you say an identity is? All right, think about that for a minute. Where does an identity come from? Who gives us that identity? How do we know what our identity is? Does someone else have to tell us? Do we study something? Is there one particular thing we can read? I mean, the low-hanging fruit would be to say, read the Bible, that'll tell you your identity. Well, that is true, but that can be a little confusing if you're not careful, because when I first got saved, someone gave me a Bible. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I'd never touched a Bible. I was 15 years old. They handed me a Bible. I took it home, and guess where I started reading? Revelation. I was so confused, I didn't know whether I was washing or hanging out. I mean, I didn't have any idea. You had your hand up. Were you going to give an answer to that question? Real loud, because I'm deaf. Okay, never mind. Is that what you said? Okay. Sorry. I can't hear anything with the fans and everything. So the scripture can be a little confusing. Right after I first got saved and started to get in the Bible, I was reading, and this person I went to church with told me, said, If you read it in the Bible, it's yours. It belongs to you. So I'm reading, and I find out that Moses goes to the Red Sea. God tells him to raise his staff, and he parts the Red Sea. Well, I believe that I could do that, except I've never even seen the Red Sea. So obviously that wasn't specifically for me. There was a general truth there that I can do whatever God tells me to do, right? We have that power. So where does identity come from? Well, let me point something out to you or share something with you out of the Gospel of John. John chapter 1, verse 12. And I'm going to read it to you real quick out of the Passion Translation. You'll have to forgive me tonight. Those of you who know me know that I normally wear glasses. They're sitting on the counter at home, doing me a lot of good, aren't they? So I'm going to try to read this. I don't really need glasses. What I need is an arm a little longer. Listen to what, so John is talking about Jesus in chapter 1. He's telling us, you know, in the beginning was the Word became flesh. The Word was God, was with God. And he talks about Jesus coming into the world, and he said, he came to the world, and the world didn't recognize him. His creation didn't recognize him. He goes on to say, his own people didn't recognize him. But then he gives us a but statement. I love big buts in the scripture. Oh, come on, that was funny. That's right. I like it when there's a but in the scripture. You know why? Because that's a conjunction. And when there's a conjunction in English, I know you didn't come here for an English lesson, right? Or a grammar lesson. But when there's a conjunction, it connects what has been said to what is about to be said. And so he throws a big but in here, right here. Now, listen to this from the Passion Translation. But those who embraced him and took hold of his name, he gave authority to become the children of God. Now, you don't know this yet, but that's really, really, really good news. How many of you have ever heard the word gospel before? Okay, what's it mean? Anybody know? What's the word gospel mean? We all are familiar with it, but what's it mean? We spread the gospel, but what does gospel mean? Good news. Actually, the Greek word came from the military, and it means a message from the battlefield that the tide has turned and we're winning. Oh, come on. I didn't just tell you I had to have a root canal. For goodness sake, that's good news. We've got a message from the battlefield. That's what Jesus came to establish, was the gospel. The battle is won. And we have been given a message from the battlefield that the tide has turned and we've won. All right, so he gave us the authority to become the children of God. Now, there's a very important reason why you need to grasp that truth. Because we live in a society that has determined that we can decide our own identity. In fact, as a human being, you actually have three identities. You have a biological identity, that's given to you at birth. You have a spiritual identity, that's given to you by God. But you have an emotional identity, that's where you live. That's where most of us operate, I should say. It's not the truth always. Sometimes it is, right? Sometimes we get it right. Sometimes we feel that our identity is right. Sometimes we really get a hold of that understanding, and our emotions catch up with the truth of our spirit. That's a good place. That's exciting. That's when we put a smile on our face, not like some of you. You know, it takes more muscles to smile than to frown, so give your face a rest. Let me tell you a story. This preacher, young man, this will help you smile a little bit. This young man went to his old pastor and he said, "Pastor, I think God has called me to preach." And the pastor was really excited. He said, Yeah, that's awesome. Why don't you just preach Sunday? And the young man said, I'm too nervous. I might pass out. So the old pastor said, no, give it a try. It's all right. By the way, don't get offended. It's just a joke, okay? I'm going to tell you that up front. And so the young man went home and he started studying. He's getting his message ready. About halfway through the week, he calls the old pastor. He said, Pastor, I can't do it. I'm too nervous. I feel like I'm going to pass out now. And the old pastor said, well, I'll tell you what. Here's what I do. I take a little bit of alcohol and I put it in a glass and I fill it up with water and I sip on that while I preach. And it calms me right down. Don't get offended. And so the young man thought, okay, I'll try that. Well, he's really nervous, so he puts a whole bunch of alcohol in that glass and a little bit of water. And he doesn't sip on it. He is gulping that thing while he's preaching. But he calmed down. He got his message done. Boy, people were blessed. People came to the altar. It was a great service. When he got done, he went up to the old pastor. He said, well, how did I do? And the old pastor said, you know, you did pretty well. You calmed down. You relaxed. You got into a flow. But there's a couple of things you might want to think about and correct. Number one, there are 10 commandments, not 12. There are 12 apostles, not 10. And we never refer to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit as Big Daddy, JC, and the Spook. All right, that's better. Now, let's talk about where your identity comes from. Okay? Your identity, listen to what I'm going to tell you. Bill said something really cool. Your behavior, your actions don't determine your identity. On the contrary, your identity, if you will understand it, will begin to affect how you live. All right, from where does an identity come? Well, to have an identity, there has to be a greater authority than yourself. Your parents, through the working and the miraculous design of God, put together a bunch of cells and you were born with a natural identity, a physical identity, right? They were your higher authority. They gave you life by the hand of God. That was none of your doing. You didn't get to decide how you were born. You didn't even get to decide what family you were born into, right? I know by the look on some of your faces, you're thinking, boy, I wish I could have chose that. You'd have chose my family, right? No. A higher authority gives you your identity. But we live in a society that says, no, you can decide because you are the highest authority. That's what they tell us. Well, in the Greek language, that is called baloney. All right? Because that's not true. You don't get to decide. Now, you do decide how you react to your identity and how you live that identity and how you understand that identity. Your emotional identity will, how you structure that emotional identity will determine whether or not you fully understand who you really are. How many of you have accepted Jesus as your Lord? Everyone? How about this? This might be easier. Anyone not? You're not going to raise your hand, right? Because you know we're coming after you. All right. So that means that every person in this room has the same spiritual identity. That doesn't mean we're all called to do the same things. It doesn't mean that we're all called to have the same gifts. It just means that we were all birthed from above. Yes? And so we have a particular spiritual identity. Who gave us that identity? The preacher? The church? That's what they think. They want to tell us that, you know, we'll decide who you are. This is how you're going to behave. This is how you have to behave. And we create these parameters. This is how high you can go. This is how low you can go. Don't get outside the parameters or we will correct you, right? But who gave you your spiritual identity? Someone tell me. Who gave you your spiritual identity? God, right? Yeah, come on. Everybody get that? God, who is the highest authority, gave you your spiritual identity. How many of you have ever taken a DNA test? Anyone? I did. We wanted to see what kind of weirdos were back there. When we take a DNA test, we don't use that DNA test to determine who the people were of our past. We don't get to determine whether they were Irish or German or Scottish. I am German, Irish, and English, and Northern European. I'm as white as you can get. If I had red hair, I'd be transparent. That's how white I am. I don't get to, testing myself doesn't get to determine what their identity was. Their identity determines my identity. God determined our identity through birth. And I'm not talking about physical birth. I'm talking about spiritual birth. Bill quoted, I believe, the greatest scripture in the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. Our ancestor, Jesus, determines our spiritual identity. All right? He has determined our spiritual identity. Now, but what about how I feel? Isn't how I feel important? Come on. It doesn't determine our identity. It's still important, but it doesn't determine our identity. Let me tell you why it's important. Because if you walk through life feeling that you are anything less than an offspring of God, you will never. Boy, that was close right there. Dear Lord Jesus. I just about got baptized. How about that? There goes that nasty bird. That was close. That's as close as any time I've ever been preaching. And I've fallen off the stage twice. Thank God for level ground. You know, right there's a big old pile. You'd think I'd stay away from that. I'll move over here. How I feel, my emotional identity must come in line with my spiritual identity before I'm ever going to realize or actualize the fullness of that identity. My identity cannot be determined by me. Let me tell you something so cool. Some of you may disagree with what I'm about to say. That's okay. You have every right to be wrong. You don't have the authority to change your identity. Come on, you don't have the authority. He gave us the authority to become the children of God. You don't have the authority to do that. You know, we always say, your person is saved by grace through faith. You got to have faith. That isn't even what that passage says. Paul explains it in Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life I live in the flesh, I live because of the faithfulness of the Son of God. It isn't my faith. It's the authority. The greatest authority has determined who you are. Oh, come on, that'd make a backslidden Episcopalian shout, wouldn't it? The greatest authority the world has ever known has determined your identity. And he said you are child. Not childish. Some of us are that. But you are a child. You know what the word child means? It means offspring. You are an offspring of God. That's your identity. Now what has to happen is we got to get this in line with this. Look, we got a world that's debating and arguing and fussing over biological identity. Forget all of that noise. That's just noise. Forget all of that. Your biology is determined by your birth. What we ought to be concentrating on is, what is my spiritual identity? Who am I really? Because see, if I struggle with who I am in this natural world, my identity, my concept of my identity is going to do this all the time. I'm going to be up and down, up and down, up and down. Some days I'll feel good about it, some days I won't. Now here's what Paul said to the Romans in chapter 3, verse 4. He said, look, some people are unfaithful, but it doesn't keep God from being faithful. Even though we don't understand sometimes and we're weak and we mess up, it doesn't keep God from being exactly who he said he would be in our life. And we don't have the authority to change that because we're not the highest authority. God is. So this is how Paul said, let me sum it up like this. Let God be true and everyone else a liar. Some translations say, let God be true even though everyone else is a liar. You see, what you think can be a lie. We believe all kinds of lies. I'm not tall enough. I'm too big. I'm too small. My legs are too skinny. I mean, if somebody walks up to you and says, that's a nice chicken you're riding, your legs may be skinny. I don't know. That was funny, in case you were wondering. How we think determines how we connect to that identity. Now, let me show you this. God, in his authority, said, I have given you authority. Now, the Passion Translation is one of the only translations that uses the word authority there, and I like that because the Greek word actually means power or authority. Now, most translations say, give you the right to become the sons of God. Well, in essence, that's kind of the same thing, but what's the difference between having the authority to do something and having the ability to do it? I got the ability to do all kinds of stupid things. When I was young, I had the ability to take drugs. That was dumb. Almost killed me, but still was dumb. I had the ability to do dumb things that usually meant I wound up getting hurt. So what's the difference between ability and authority? You have the ability to convince yourself of all kinds of things, but you don't have the authority to change your identity. Here's the difference. How many of you know what a police officer is? Do we have any police officers here? Anybody a police officer? No? Okay. Police officers have authority. Would you agree with that? So when they turn on that red light behind you, what do you do? And if you say take off running, what do you do when you see those lights come on behind you? You pull over, right? Why? Because he has the authority to pull you over. Now let's say he walks up to your car, he hands you a gun, he says, go rob the bank. You gonna do it? Yes, shut up. Are you gonna do it? No. Wait a minute. You just told me he had the authority. So what changed? I know, you didn't know you were going to have to think. What changed? A few minutes ago, you told me you had the authority. When he turned those lights on behind you, you pulled over because you know you may be able to outrun that one cop, but you can't outrun that radio. Trust me, I tried when I was a teenager. I did outrun one cop, though, on foot. It was Halloween. He was chasing me. Don't ask me why he was chasing me. He was just chasing me. Leave it at that. And we went running through this yard, and all the walnuts had fallen on the ground. And we hit those walnuts. It was like skating on ice. And I went sliding through this yard on these walnuts, and there was this clothesline that hit me right on the side of my head as I went sliding by. I heard the cop yell because the clothesline hit him right there. And needless to say, he didn't catch me. Why does he have the authority to pull you over, but then not have the authority to give you a gun and tell you to go rob the bank? Someone tell me. So what you're saying is, he has the authority to do things within the law, but if he gets outside the law, he no longer has authority. Would you say? Is that another way of putting it? All right, good. How many of you agree with that? A police officer has the authority as long as he's operating under authority. You following me so far? Okay. There's an example of this in the scripture where Cornelius, was it, or Jairus? I think maybe it was Jairus who said to Jesus, I'm a man under authority and I have authority, and if you'll just speak the word, I think it was Jairus, my daughter will be healed, right? It's what? It is written? Yeah, yeah. Notice what he said. He had authority because he was under authority. So, that police officer only has authority as long as he's operating under the authority of his jurisdiction. Let's take a highway patrolman, for instance. The whole state of Missouri is his authority, is his domain, basically. As long as he's operating in obedience to the authority that's over him, he has authority over us to pull us over, to maybe even take our license or something like that. But he doesn't have the authority to tell us to do things that are outside of his authority. All right, why am I laboring this point? Because I want you to understand that you don't just have the ability to do something, you have the authority to do it. You with me? You have the authority to become a child of God, the offspring of God. So when you and I accept the gift, we're placing ourselves under the greater authority. And I don't have the authority to change my identity. God does. So what has God said? What has God said? Because see, this doesn't make any difference what you and I think or say. That's not the reality here. That may be our concept, and it may be how we operate, it may be our MO, but it isn't reality. It isn't real. What does God say about our identity? What does God say about our identity? Come on, tell me some things. What does God say? We are what? We're made in his image. Woo, that's good. All right, you get where we're going? Tell me some things. Yes. We're his children, so we're his offspring. God has said that about us, yes? What else? What has God said about us? Say that again. We're loved unconditionally, right? Doesn't make any difference what we think, what we do. God's love never changes, yes? What else? Come on, what else? What has God said about us? What? Say it. We're accepted. Yes, that's good. Say it real loud. We're always forgiven. That's right. Past, present, and future. We're perfect. Woo, now we're getting somewhere. We're sinless. 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us this. When God looks at Jesus, he sees us. And when he looks at us, he sees Jesus. You can't get better than that. As he is. Yeah, Cecil shared that this morning, right? As he is, so are you in this world. 1 John 4. God is the authority. He has given you both the ability and the authority to become a new creation. This is what 2 Corinthians 5, right before he says, he who knew no sin became sin for us. Right before that, here's what he said. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Then he said this, the old has passed away and the new has come. Now we look at that and we go, what does that mean? The old has passed away and the new's come. The old what and the new what? Because when I got saved, I went home, looked in the mirror. I was still as ugly as I was before. on the outside. So what does it mean? The old has passed away, the new has come. The language there could best be described as saying this. The old, long-standing spiritual condition is gone, and a new spiritual condition has come. So you are a new creation. Something as of yet unseen. Think about it. The King James says you're a new creature. How many of you know people who match that? They're creatures. But you're a new creation. What's it mean to be a creation? Yeah, all the brothers are pointing at their sisters. She's a creature. What does it mean to be a creation? What's a creation? Is what? What's a creation? Think about it. What did God create the world from? Where'd the world come from? What?
From nothing.
Yeah. He took nothing and made something. That's what you are. That's how Paul described us in 2 Corinthians 5. You're a new creation. You were nothing. You were nothing. Except God said, no, by my authority, I'm giving you my life. And your identity is exactly the same as Jesus. There's no difference. As he is, so are we, right? I'm a co-heir with Christ. Christ in me, the hope of glory, the life I live in the flesh, I live because of the faithfulness of the Son of God. It is Christ lives in me, not me who lives. Everything the Scripture teaches us in the New Testament tells us and points to one single thing. Jesus Christ made you his own. By his own authority, he took that authority and gave you the authority to become the children of God. Now, what happens if you don't think that way? All right, come on, I'm winding down, so I'm almost done. How about if I say, and in closing, will that make you feel better? Yeah, that's my first closing. That's true. Those who know me know that's true. What does it mean, or let me back up. What happens if I don't feel that way? What happens if I look in the mirror? You know, some mornings you get up and you go, good morning, Lord, here we go. And some mornings you get up and look in the mirror and go, good Lord, it's morning. So what happens if I don't feel that way? We've established all day, it's been established what your identity is. And Bill is exactly right. If you don't get anything else out of this camp, get this, and I'm going to tell you why. If you don't have your identity understood and fixed in your mind, you will never accomplish the things God has for you. You'll just, they'll pass you by. We have to this is the most important issue that we believers will ever face. Because if we don't get this right, nothing else is going to fall into place. So, what happens when I don't feel like my identity, like the Bible says my identity is? What happens if I don't say, you know, I'm forgiven, I'm sinless, I'm just like Jesus? What happens when we don't feel that way? Let's be honest. Have you had those times? Huh? Yeah. We all have. So what do we do about that? I'm gonna finish with this. What do we do about that? I'm going to give you some real-life nuts and bolts, okay? Because one of the biggest delusions that we Americans face is that if we feel something, it must be true. That's poppycock. That's a real old word. You can look it up later. That's ridiculous. How I feel is immaterial to the truth. Now, it still affects me. You know, let's put it in different terms. There's a difference between your identity Wait, let me rephrase that. Sometimes there's a difference between your identity and your reality. Your reality is how you walk through life, how you feel, what you think about yourself. And it's easy to start looking at yourself and finding all the faults. And churches don't help. These nitwit preachers get up and, not these nitwit preachers, other nitwit preachers, get up and say things like, how many sinners we got here today? And everybody raised a hand and said, amen. What are you, out of your mind? I love this question Cecil asked one time. If I was a sinner before I got saved and I was a sinner after I got saved, then what did Jesus do? You can't have it both ways. So what happens when my identity doesn't match my reality? What do I do? Try to soldier on? Try to be brave? Lie to myself? I mean, it's not really a lie, it just feels like a lie, right? So what do I do when how I feel doesn't match the identity that God says about me? Because remember, let God be true, everyone else a liar. So what do I do about that? Come on, somebody's got an idea. Do what? Renew your mind. So how do I do that? You're spot on, but we're not stopping there. How do we do that? How do you change your mind? That's hard. What? Talk to God? Maybe let God talk back. Yeah, that's always good. Sometimes that's even better. All right, that's good. What else? What do we do? What? Meditation. Yeah, think on these things. What? Who said something over here? You got to talk louder, sister. Thank you very much. I heard that, I think. Did she say clear your mind? How do you clear your mind? Some of you have already done that tonight, haven't you? How do you clear your mind? Let's keep going. We're on our way, but we're not to the bottom of this yet. How do I get how I feel and what I think to match the identity that God gave me? Cast out those thoughts. Yep. Casting down imaginations, right? We're getting there close. Bring every thought captive. You ever heard that? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Bring every thought captive. But what does he say after that? Make it obey Christ. Come on, you with me? You have the power to change how you think and how you feel. See, we think feelings dictate how we think, and that's not true. How we think dictates how we feel. Change your thought, you will eventually change your feeling. Thoughts happen, followed by imagery. We begin to see it in our mind. Self-talk, we begin to talk to ourselves about it. And then it produces an emotion. It comes way down the line. Change what you think, change what you say to yourself, change what you see in your mind, and you will change how you feel. Bring every thought captive and make it obey Christ. You know what young people have a real lack of in this country? Friends who will tell us what we need to hear. I'm back under the birds again. And that pesky little devil came back, didn't it? He better be glad I don't have my BB gun. I'm gonna find a nice clean spot to stand. How about this right here? Hey, you didn't get anointed a while ago, did you? I'll stand over here by where you were. All right, there you go. Huh? We need friends that we can call and say, look, I feel like my identity is slipping away. Now, we don't tell people that. You know why? Because we don't want them to think that we're weak. Because we're afraid they'll exploit that. No, we need to talk to each other about these things and say, look, I'm struggling with this today. It's okay. Struggling is not the end of the world, for God's sake. In fact, we all struggle. We just sometimes act like we don't, so nobody will know that we do. But when you're struggling, talk to your friends. Talk to spiritual leaders. Talk to people who will encourage you and put those thoughts back in your mind. We need to change how we think, and to do that, now watch, I'm going to finish with this, okay? This is my final closing. Here's how we do that. You got to validate every feeling and every thought with truth. You got to validate every thought and every feeling with truth. Now, remember me saying a while ago, sometimes the Bible can, I mean, I know we're supposed to read the Bible, I get that. But, man, have you ever read the Chronicles? When you get into the Begats, it gets a little weird. Hard to read, right? I'm not being critical. I'm just saying, let's talk about what truth is. Okay? Where does truth come from? Jesus said this about the Bible. He said to the Pharisees, you pour over the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life. And eternal life doesn't come from there. Those things talk about me, Jesus was saying. And I'm right here, and you won't turn to me. Don't miss this very important fact. The truth is not just on the pages of that book. The truth lives within you. Hello? The truth is a person. He's alive and well in you. What's your name? Shania. Like Shania Twain? All right, we'll go with that. That's the only way I'm going to remember it. Shania said, talk to God. We think a journey to find God is up there. Oh, no. The journey to find God is right here. Look inside. Jesus, the source of all truth and life and light, lives in you. That's your identity. That's your birthright. And you have the authority to be the children of God. All right. They never told me how to wrap this up, so I'm just going to wrap it up. And if it's wrong, I'll just get forgiveness later. Won't you stand with me? Make sure you're not standing under a spot that looks like that. Everybody's looking up now. Yeah, be careful where you're standing. All right. I know some of us struggle with this stuff. Brothers, come on. Thank you for being smarter than me. They're going to put a little music on here. And we're going to take time to bless one another in what we've talked about. Some of you may be struggling with this identity thing. You're saying, I hear what you're saying and I know it's true, but it's not how I feel. That's okay. We can change feelings. I just described it a few moments ago. We can change that. But we're all in this together. So we're going to pray. If you need someone to stand with you and say, help me. It's not how I feel. I'm struggling with my feelings. I'm struggling with my thoughts. And I just want somebody to pray with me. Well, I'm going to ask you to be bold. Do something very bold. Come, stand down here. Not at this spot right here. But stand down here. And the rest of us are going to just come around you. And we're going to pray with you. And we're going to stand with you. And we're going to say, you know what? We're not going to let you struggle alone. We're gonna stand with you and help you understand your identity, and we're gonna keep telling you and telling you and telling you until you either get tired of hearing us tell you or you get it. All right? So while they play, you just come. If this is something you're struggling with, come on.